You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast, Advances in the Delayed Onset of Type 1 Diabetes, Strategies to Improve Awareness and Care for the Practicing Clinician. I'm joined by James Garrity, who works in development for the Greater New York and New Jersey chapter of the American Diabetes Association. James also has type 1 diabetes and has graciously agreed to share his experiences with us. Welcome, James.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
We're so pleased you're here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you? What's your family like? What do you do?
Of course, I am 34 years old. I am born and raised on Long Island. As you previously mentioned, I work for the American Diabetes Association on the development side. I am also a volunteer firefighter. And this past February, my wife and I became parents to a beautiful baby girl who's been the best gift that I could ever ask for.
Congratulations. That's fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
And also, that's amazing on the volunteer firefighter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So let's start with when you were diagnosed with diabetes. How old were you?
I was diagnosed in January of 2000. I was 9 years old. I was in the fourth grade, and I remember my teacher calling home to my parents, letting them know that I was constantly leaving class, going to the bathroom, going to the water fountain, and I just seemed tired all the time. So I remember my parents calling my doctor, who lived down the block from us, actually, and she had me come right in. I remember going into her office. She tested my blood sugar, which at the time, I had no idea what she was doing, but she pricked my finger. And shortly after, she told my parents, get him to the emergency room immediately. I remember my blood sugar was so high and I had to get right there. I was just so lucky to have such amazing parents because I didn't know what diabetes was at that time. And just going to the hospital as a nine-year-old, I just feared the worst. But my parents kept me so calm and they made it such an easy process, which could be so difficult. So I'm just so grateful for my parents. And it just helped me understand that this is something that may change certain things in my life, but it will not affect how I live my life. And I'm just so grateful for them.
Do you remember that time in terms of before you were hospitalized, how you were feeling? Do you remember the thirst and all?
Yeah, I was just so thirsty all the time. And I was such an active kid, always playing sports, always going out. And I was just napping. I was so tired. I was just always constantly wanting water or anything to drink. And it was just exhausting all the time. I just wanted to just go lay down, which was so unlike me.
So knowing what you know now, were you in diabetic ketoacidosis when you were sent to the hospital?
I don't think I was there yet, but I was definitely heading in that direction.
So did they admit you? What happened at the hospital?
So I stayed for about 3 or 4 days. It was really to help me better understand how to do injections, the difference of the short term, the long acting insulin. I just had no idea, nor did my parents, too much about diabetes. So very grateful. There was amazing doctors and nurses at the hospital. And I was so overwhelmed that first day or two, but leaving, it was unbelievable. Like I knew there was going to be such a difference in my life, but I felt such confidence just walking out the door.
Were you giving yourself injections?
My parents were doing it at first, but it took a couple of months and then I was finally giving them to myself.
So how did your life change from before and after?
Yeah, so my life definitely changed before and after with just trying to focus on eating right. I was very lucky. My parents took me to a world-renowned diabetes center shortly after being diagnosed, and they really helped me understand diabetes a lot more. And to understand that I need to eat strict, but to an extent, and that like I can still be a kid. If my sugar is going low and the closest thing I have is candy, don't get into a habit of it, but if you need something, you can have it, and to just live life to the best way possible. So I was just very lucky and grateful to go to such an amazing place, and it really helped me better understand. But my parents really helped me live life the same before as it was after being diagnosed. So it really didn't change too much. I just had to be a lot more aware of what I was eating, when I was eating, and the effect that it would have on me.
And back then, we didn't have continuous glucose monitors or pumps or any of the fancy stuff we have today.
Yeah, so it's definitely crazy to see the difference. I remember when I was first diagnosed, I believe I was the only kid in my whole school district who had diabetes. And so the school wasn't too aware of what diabetes was and the best way to go about having a student with diabetes. And I remember having to go to the nurse, pricking my finger, testing my blood sugar. And I see now at that same school district, anyone who has diabetes now has a one-on-one aide, which is incredible, because now with the continuous glucose monitors, that aide can talk with the parents and they can discuss and make better decisions throughout the day. So if they see their sugars trending low or high, the parent can help make that choice of how to treat it and the best way to go forward. So seeing the difference and realizing it, it's really incredible.
And all through high school and college, you stayed very active physically?
Yeah, I've always stayed active. I was always playing soccer. I played soccer in college. So it's always been an important part of my life. And with volunteering as a fireman, as well as playing soccer all the time, I was always trying to stay as active as possible.
Have you had any complications so far? Have you, you know, had a major lows, major highs?
So I haven't had any complications yet. And I hope never, but of course I haven't had any complications. I of course have had some bad lows that have been treated, nothing that needed hospitalization or medical care for, but those do come about. But as a complication, I'm lucky and grateful to say that I haven't had any.
So what is it like living with diabetes? And you can talk about it from the perspective when you were younger and then today as an adult with a two careers really, and now parenting.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I remember when I was first diagnosed, I was almost in a weird way embarrassed to say that I had diabetes because I didn't think anyone really knew what it was. And so it was always hard as a kid to go to friends' houses and go elsewhere when they didn't know that I had diabetes. And it was just such a new thing to a lot of people. And I see the advancements now, and like I was talking earlier with the school district, and seeing the awareness that everyone is just so well aware of it, and just so grateful to all the amazing organizations that help push that awareness, because as kids now, I think they have such amazing technology and there's no reason why they can't live a happy and healthy life for a very long time because of this amazing technology. So I am just so grateful because I noticed the difference from when I was first diagnosed to now, and just seeing being able to have an insulin pump and continuous glucose monitor just makes my life so much easier, whether it's being a volunteer fireman or the sleepless nights in the beginning with my baby. Having that continuous glucose monitor has been a complete game changer, and it's just made life so much easier.
Does it wake you up at night if you have a low?
Yeah, so it will. There's alerts that will go off, as well as my insulin pump if I'm trending low. And it really helps in the sense of waking up. It also gives you almost a prediction of where you're heading. So not just that you are low or heading low, it kind of gives you an idea of how fast you're going in that direction, which is really incredible because it helps you make the best decision rather than assuming that you might go really low or that like it's kind of stopping there. So it really helps you make the best decision and helps you sleep better at night because you know you're not going to over-treat or under-treat a low. So I'm just so grateful.
How much influence did the fact that you have type 1 diabetes play in your decision to work for the ADA?
So having type 1 diabetes definitely played a large role in wanting to work for the ADA. The ADA is such an amazing organization, and I believe I've learned so much over the years living with diabetes, and I wanted to work for an organization where I can help use what I learn every day. And I think it's just really incredible to work with people who also live with this disease and to see the awareness and all the amazing things that all these amazing organizations are doing every day to help push awareness and to help hopefully one day find a cure.
What would you say to the healthcare professionals who are listening to this in terms of their relationships with patients with type 1 diabetes?
Well, I think with continuous glucose monitors, I think they are the biggest game changer because I remember going back to when I was first diagnosed, having to bring my glucose meter to my endocrinologist appointments. They would have to scroll back and see my sugars, where now I go to my appointments and they've seen the trends. They've noticed that at this time at night, this time in the morning, this is happening. So I think that's really the biggest thing, and to just make all your patients aware that if you have a healthy A1C, you eat right, you exercise, you can live a happy and healthy long life. And I think that's the biggest thing with this amazing technology. There's no reason why you can't.
So today we have a treatment that can delay the onset of type 1 diabetes, assuming people are screened for the antibodies. Have you and your wife talked about having your daughter screened when she's old enough?
Yeah, so we have definitely spoken about that. We've spoken to our doctor about that, who was very well aware of that. And we are definitely going to screen our daughter every year, which just like is so amazing. It's so incredible. Like, I never want to picture a life where my daughter will have diabetes, but to know that we can screen and help prepare for that, and knowing the treatment and the technology now, just gives me such comfort. And at first I was so scared to know that I could have a child with diabetes, but knowing what's around now, the technology, the screening, it really, that fear is long gone.
That's great. When you look into the future, into your future, and you know the risk of complications with type 1 diabetes, even if you are controlling your sugars, what do you worry about, or do you worry? What do you see in your future?
So I definitely worried a lot more as a kid, worrying about the complications later on in life. But growing up and maturing in life and maturing with living with diabetes, I try not to focus on that at all. Like I said earlier, I try to just focus on having a healthy A1C, eating right, exercising. And I know that may not eliminate any complications 100%, but it's giving me the best possibility to limit any complications or to limit the possibility. So you can never let fear decide your fate and what you do. So you just have to go on and live the best and happiest life possible. Because if you live in fear of that, then it will only cause complications to your blood sugars on a daily basis. So you kind of have to be aware that it is possible to have complications later on, but can never let dictate your daily life. And you just have to live the best and happiest life possible.
What a great answer. What if I not asked you about that you would like to say to the healthcare professionals and patients that are listening to this podcast?
I believe you covered a whole lot, but I just am so thankful and so grateful to all the amazing technology and all the awareness that has gone on for the past years and continues to go on. It's just really incredible. And I cannot speak highly enough of the continuous glucose monitors and insulin pumps and where that technology is headed, where it's been, and how much easier it can make living life with type 1 diabetes.
Wonderful. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. And I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us today. We have 4 other podcasts in this series, and I hope you'll listen to them. This podcast was brought to you by Med Learning Group. In support of improving patient care, Med Learning Group is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center to provide CE for the healthcare team. I want to give a special thank you to our supporter, Sanofi US, who provided an educational grant for this activity.